1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, we've been talking about the power of God. And we go back to just the foundational that it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. He is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. And the preaching of the gospel in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto them which are saved, it is the power of God. So the preaching of the cross, the gospel, is the power of God. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel is the power of God unto us. And that particular scripture, and we looked at over in this chapter that we're at, down in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, and I, starting verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of power, of the Spirit and of power. What is it? Demonstration of what? The Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hold your finger there and turn back. Just turn over to Matthew 22 for a minute. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew 22. And look at verse 29. They were asking him about the resurrection, and this was the Sadducees, and they were going on and on. And what did Jesus say in verse 29? Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing what? The scriptures and what else? Nor the power of God. So it's not just enough to know the scriptures, you've got to know the power of God. And so Paul here was saying that his speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. So our faith is not in man, it's in God and in his power. Amen. Glory to God. Now, one of the things we were just touching on this past Wednesday was talking about being empowered, that the power of God is in us, and just talking from that perspective, some of the translations in the New Living, it says, for the kingdom of God, this is the New Living in verse 20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. It's not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power, so we need to know his power. And if you just hold on a second here, just jump over, keep your finger there, jump ahead, look at Hebrews chapter 6. When we talk about the power of God, but look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5. Talking about the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. But look at Hebrews chapter 6. It says in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have what? Tasted of the heavenly gift and were made what? Partakers of the Holy Ghost. And have what? Tasted of the good word of God." See, this is knowing the scriptures. And what? "And the powers of the world to come." So we need to be tasting of the good word of God and of the powers of the world to come. We need to know the word of God and the power of God. This is what we were talking about Wednesday. And this power, I'll just touch on a few scriptures. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and look at a familiar scripture verse in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And let me read a few other translations. In the Good News Translation, it says, "Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord." See, this is key. When it talks about, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord," this comes through our union with Christ. And by means, this is what it says in the Good News Translation. "Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power." The Amplified, it says, "Be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him, draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides." I like the Passion Translation. This helps me. It says, "Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you." I was sharing on Wednesday that as we are assigned, all of us, whatever God has assigned you to do, you know, we are the body of Christ made up of many members. We all have different assignments. But I was sharing on Wednesday when I came into the ministry here, I was given some assignments and executed those faithfully. But I remember, you know, it was kind of a funny story. I remember, you know, I came out of writing software for, you know, a utility company. And so I was at that time, this is many years ago, writing software. I had a team of developers, and we were writing online programming, online software for various departments. It was at a certain, you know, higher level. And so when I came here in the ministry, we didn't have any computers. So that was a little shock to my nervous system, you know what I mean? We had no computers when I first came here. And I'm thinking, what are you kidding me? We have no computers. What? Pencil and paper and calculators. So anyways, we finally got on board and we got a computer. We got one. And I thought, yay. So we got a few more. So in a process of time, I had an unction to help in that area, even though that was not my assignment. I wasn't assigned to do that. So I just, because of some background that I had in developing databases and those kinds of things, so I began to help in that area, and we began to do some things here. And so I remember working my regular hours, meaning 8 to 5:30, 8:30 to 6, and then I would start programming and doing some things to help pull that together. Wasn't my assignment. And I sensed the power of God coming on me to do this for a period of about 3 or 4 months. the energy, the supernatural energy was so much so that I'd sit here till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning doing something along those lines, go home, get a couple hours of sleep, shower, and come back in here early, do a little more programming, and then jump right back in. Felt like I had never missed a beat. There was such energy, so not even tired. My mind and just thought life, things were just clicking. I was like back into doing what I was doing before. But boy, I'm telling you, after about 4 months, it lifted and I was normal. I needed to leave here because I was pooped and tired. So what I'm saying is that things that God assigns you to do, He will give you supernatural energy and strength to do it. Whatever that is. If He's assigned you to be a mom, He will give you strength to do that. He will give you supernatural, but you've got to look for that and depend on it. You've got to ask for it. So you got to believe that He's in you and the power of God's in you to energize you to do that. See, God didn't expect us. It's to, what does He say? You do err because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. So whatever He's assigned you to do, not just behind a pulpit, He may assign you to do whatever that is. There's supernatural power available for you to do it and do it well. Above, what does it say? He will do super abundantly above all that you could ask or think because of what? The power that worketh in you. So He wants to work through us, but we've got to look for that. We've got to believe for that. So back to this here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This word strong, and I was sharing this on Wednesday, just a brief little snippet of what Rick Renner shared. He said this word strong is really a compound word. It's made up of two words in the Greek. He said this first word is en. So the word endunameo is really en, en, which means in. And dunamo, which means dunamis, that's where the word dunamis or the power of God comes from. He's saying this word in implies, he said that it's meant to be put in something. That's us. God designed, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord. So that word strong means to be that His explosive power is meant to be in a receptacle. We're the receptacle. Amen. And so we need to be looking at that. What is the scripture? Let me just read this. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this what? Treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, what? May be of God and not of us. So His power is meant to reside in us and to be active. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this power, and I wanted to just focus on this a little bit today and just kind of add a little bit to what we did Wednesday. Let's look at John chapter 5 for a moment. The power that's in us is of God, and it comes out of, as we were sharing, it comes out of a union with God or a fellowship with God. But look at verse John 5:19. It says, Jesus responded, He said, here, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He does what? He sees the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So things that God would have us do have to be directed by him. We cannot do things apart from him. So yes, the power is in us, but it has to be at his direction. Otherwise, we're just renegades with power. Right? It has to be directed by him. You know, so often I heard, some of you may have, but you heard Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he would go into a hospital room. He shared many, many accounts where he'd start praying and he'd either see something happen or the Lord would tell him, don't pray. Nope, don't pray. He said, this person, I remember one, he said, this person put something in motion, and he said only this person could reverse it. He had spoke something for his whole life. He put some things in motion, and he said, your prayers won't work. So there's things that we just don't know, and you need his direction and his guidance on what to speak and what to say and how to pray. How this power will be directed. John 8:28, he said, then Jesus said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So even the words that we speak, is what I was sharing before, the advice that was given to Pat Harrison in troubled times. Keep your mouth closed, pray in the Holy Ghost more, look on the inside, get direction from the inside. That's where wisdom will come from. John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So even Jesus, he did nothing apart from the Father. The things he spoke, the things he did was at the direction of the Father. We're no different today. We need to get direction from the Father as to what to do and what to say. John 14:10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Right? Isn't that what it says in John 15? It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. The branch can do nothing apart from the vine. It says it can do nothing apart from the vine. That's what it says in John 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So, yes, abiding in, but we need to get direction from him as to how we are to speak, how we are to pray, how we're to do things in this walk that we're in. Amen. Turn over to, I know I shared this, but turn over to Psalm 19. And let's look at this again, Psalm 19. Look at verse 7, 7 through 14. Just look at that, Psalm 19. It says, the law of the Lord is what? It's perfect. So that's one thing we know. The God's word is forever settled in heaven. It's perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, talking about the law of the Lord, the word of God, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is what? Great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, that my strength and my redeemer. I like some of these other translations here. God's Word translation says, may the words from my mouth and the thoughts from my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. The New International Version says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Now, I know you Bible students know this. How do we please God? There you go, by faith. It's impossible to please him without faith. So if the words of our mouth and the meditations from our heart are not pleasing, then they can't be faith-filled words. Right? They can't be. So our words have to be from faith, inspired by God. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It comes from him. So the words we speak need to be inspired by him. The Holy Ghost will inspire and bring back to your remembrance scripture to speak. And he will inspire you what to say. Not just random thoughts that come. So those things are pleasing to God. The meditations of our heart and of our mouth, these thoughts are pleasing if they're inspired and come in faith, come by faith. Amen. Amen. I like this, the God's Word translation says, no one can please God without faith. Whoever goes to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. So this, think about, just read this account here. When we think about direction from God and God the Father, think about the story, the first miracle that Jesus performed in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And what did his mother say to the servants? Whatever he says, do it. And that's key advice. Whatever God says to you, do it. Nothing more, nothing less. Whatever he says to you, do it. And that is when we talk about the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. Whatever God says to you, do it. And we need not touch things and try to operate in things that we've not been given direction to do. Right? Because you can do nothing apart from him. It's not your power. What does it say? That the excellency of this power would be what? Of God and not of us. So it's not our power. It's his power. So I can't expect to see results if he didn't tell me to do it. Now, yeah, you can... You know, and I'm not trying to have anybody question praying or question your faith. But a lot of times, and in most times, for me, and I'm sure for you, God will give direction as to what to say and do. Amen. He will. Amen. He will alert you. He will prompt you. God never misses it. Amen. We miss things. He never misses it. What is the scripture? He is perfect in all his ways. And so sometimes, unless it's an emergency, and even in those settings, God can supernaturally show you exactly what to say and do. Stop trying to figure things out. I think I'm going to pull this scripture out and pray. No, you need to ask God, how shall I pray, Father? What shall I do here? It's his power. He gets all the glory. It's his power, not ours. And it's his direction. So you can't have faith in God until you hear from God. You can't have faith in God until you hear from him. What does the scripture say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can't have faith for certain things unless you hear from God. And what do we, and again, he speaks through his word. So if we want to know the will of God, we can hear his will through the word of God. But we also need to get direction as to how to apply it. How do we apply the word? How is your faith released? Faith that's acted upon is where the power of God is released. Did he tell you to act in that manner or in that direction? So out of our fellowship with God, being connected to the vine, direction comes and faith comes. And sometimes we're separating faith principles from our fellowship with God, meaning we're applying faith principles, but we're not spending enough time with God to get direction as to what to do. So sometimes we can think, well, this is what we should do. So we're separating, we're taking faith principles apart from direction. You understand what I'm saying here? It's his power, not ours. It's his direction, not mine. He knows what's needed in every situation, right? It would be no different. So when we talk about hearing from him, it would be no different than you saying, I believe Pastor Ed's going to come over and do X, Y, Z for me. And I go, really? Did you hear that from me? So it's no different that you're basically saying God's going to do X, Y, Z in this situation. And did you hear from him? Did you get direction? Was it confirmed that that's the what you're supposed to be doing? Right? It's quiet in here. Too quiet for me. Because this is how you get success. This is how we get success. So the beginning of every miracle is hearing from him. It's hearing from him. And not just jumping into a particular mode. Amen. We need to hear from God. And part of that is when in our hearing, when we come together, we spend time in prayer, we spend more time in corporate prayer, hearing from God what we should do, what we should believe God for. That's why when we spend time every service confessing, we believe that we receive this week $80,000. You know, I remember Mrs. Hagen saying something recently, about a year ago. She was saying, or it was a while ago, I'm not saying a year ago, but I may have heard it a year ago, but it was something she spoke a while ago and said they had, were paying their last payment, monthly payment on the jet that they own to get them around the world to do the things that God has called them to do. And so she said, God, I've been calling this money in for I don't know how long. How come it took this long? And he said, so this is his response to her. Did you ever lack the money to pay the payment? No. He said, did you ever come up short? No. So he said, if you hadn't confessed for the money, he said, you would have. So the point is, let's stop trying to figure out how God brings in the things that we believe him for and the things that happen. Let's stop trying to figure that out and just thank God that he is the doer. We're the believer. And if things don't turn out the way we expect them, he's still good. He's still God. And he's good. And there's something, maybe I missed it somewhere. Maybe I don't understand everything. And we just have to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will what? Direct your paths. So I've got to go back to these simple but profound scriptures. When I don't understand something, I've just got to trust. I've got to trust him, and he will direct my paths. And I've got to say that, Lord, you know, when we don't like something, he already knows it. When you're hurting, he already knows it. Who lives in you? He does. So if you're thinking something, he already knows it. If you're frustrated about something, he already knows it. If you don't like something, he already knows it. If you're hurting, he already knows it. So sometimes it's just best to be honest and just say, Lord, I don't like this. I'm frustrated with this. Help me. Trust in the Lord and stop trying to figure it out. And then he will do what? He will direct your paths. He will lead you. He'll guide you. And so for us, the best advice that we have is in the scripture. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. The other scripture, let me just turn over to verse, and that Philippians 2. Turn over and look at verse 14. Or look at 13, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 says, for it is God which what? Worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Look at verse 14. Do what? All things without murmurings and disputings. Some translations say, do all things without murmurings and reasonings. See, this is what gets us in trouble. Reasonings. Do all things what? Without murmurings and reasonings. I like that one translation says, do all things without grumbling and questioning. See, we easy for that. Why, Lord? I don't like this. I don't like this, Lord. He said, do all things without it. Didn't say it's going to be easy, but if you start doing it, follow. What do you say? A lot of times we're asking God for an answer, and it's in his word. And we need to just open the book and find it. He said, do all things without complaining, basically, and reasoning. Stop trying to reason something. Just stop it. Don't do it. And you're there. Turn over to Philippians 4. What does it say? It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing. I like one translation. It says, don't worry about one thing. Don't even worry about it. Yeah, but you don't understand, Lord. He wouldn't have put this in here. He wouldn't have inspired Paul to write this if it wasn't possible. We have a choice to make not to worry or be concerned. Even when there's natural reasons to be concerned. I know Pastor Sarah shared it. She might have been present when Brother Hagin was praying. She heard him pray, "Lord, I'm concerned about this, but I'm not going to be concerned." So you have a choice at that point to take it or to say, "No, I'm not going to, I am concerned about it, but I'm not going to be because I'm going to trust God." And so there could be natural situations that there's a good reason to be concerned and worry, but I'm not going to do it because He's God. And He's going to see me through this and help me. What does it say? "But in everything." Just some of the light stuff. No, even in the hard, difficult things, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's going to take faith to do that. You got to choose to just, "I'm going to do this." And what? And when you do, what does it say? "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall" what? "Keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." What does verse 8 say? "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's what we're supposed to think on. Not reasonings, not questionings, not grumblings, and we all have them. That's why the Holy Ghost told me, "Don't touch that, leave it alone." That was an admonishment to me. "You don't understand it, leave it alone. Don't think on it." Because when you start thinking on things, it will drag you down. I'm just telling you, it will. It'll drag you down. And it'll take you out of faith. It'll take you out of blessing God. You'll be like, "God, I don't like this." And you'll get yourself in a rut. And that's what God is saying. Think on these things, and the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. You've got to choose in some very difficult time. "I'm going to praise God. I don't want to, but I'm going to choose to do it right now. Thank you, Lord. And my flesh don't like it. I'm hurting, but I'm praising God. And I'm going to think on the good side of things and not the negative." That's how we activate the power of God. Sometimes we thinking about the power of God just coming in and blessing people, you know, and healing and all that. That's true. But the power of God can come in and cause peace to come. The power of God can come in and cause joy to come when you don't feel like it. The power of God can come in, touch your body and mind, and people go, how could you go through that? I can't, but God is giving me the power to do it. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Don't think on things you don't understand. He's saying, don't even worry about it. We have a choice to make. Whether it's children, family, death, loss of job, whatever it is. It didn't say that it's not a problem, but I'm not going to concern myself about that problem because God is a good God. He sees me, He lives in me, and He's working this out. And I've got to profess that because I'm telling you, that's faith. And what does He say? "He that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder." He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Only in the good times. No, in the bad times. In the hard times. "I'm going to seek You, God, because You're good and You're working it out. And You're going to reward me." Hallelujah. And it may not be when you want it. Stop trying to figure that out. Don't touch things that you don't understand. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I just share a few thoughts from my heart here today. But sometimes we do err not knowing the scriptures and the power of God. And it's the scriptures and the power of God that are going to bring victory in our lives. It's Him directing, Him getting involved, Him empowering us to do and to overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He's going to strengthen me. Hallelujah. And He is strengthening me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I would encourage us again, and we're going to speak more along these lines, but the devil hates any family that's united of one lip, one mind, one purpose where God is concerned. He will fight that family, and you need to take your place in heavenly places and take the authority that God's given you and plead the blood, and you stand against him and his wiles. What does the scripture say? Finally, be strong in the Lord. Take up the armor of God. You do it daily. But he also hates not only just families, he hates any individual that stands for Christ, and he hates any church that's united. And I encourage us to come out on prayer and be united in prayer. Be of one mind and one heart, and not release words that you are foolish. But come together and pray and seek God and get His direction and His perspective on things. Amen. Glory to God. That's what Apostle Mike Key said. He said, this church is a forward fire base. And I'm telling you that God, when you look at, you know, anybody with one eye, both eyes closed, if you had understanding, you can look at what, from the very inception of this ministry, Pastor Clinton, before he went to Bible school, was what? Hit with a dissecting aneurysm. He should have died. He hates what God has authorized. And it's been that way ever since. One thing after another. And then you look at him going home to be with the Lord. He went home. It hurt. But all is well. He's fine. He's in the presence of the Lord. And so when you look at all that Pastor Sarah has walked through, and you look at some of the things that have happened, it's best to be united and of one thought, one mind, and not touch reasonings. Do all things without murmurings and complaining or reasonings. Come together and join in prayer and be united, so that the power of God can work not only through us individually, but corporately. So His will and purpose can be done. Amen. Amen. And it will be done. Amen. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you for stirring our hearts. Thank you for reminding us from your word that things that we need to correct and adjust. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. So when light comes, we see where adjustments need to be made. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, now as we close this service, we look to you to empower us. We look to you to think through us and to work through us, to help us this week as we go about our various tasks. And we thank you for it.